Hi, I'm WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Estuardo Rodriguez, the president and CEO of the Friends of the American Latino Museum.
And that museum, of course, and this is the first, it'll be his first Hispanic Heritage Month this month since that museum was passed in a bipartisan bill. When did that actually pass? And sort of what's the state of, you know, when we might even be able to see an actual physical museum? I know it's tied to another museum the bill works, but explain that really quick for our listeners.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about the passage of the bill in December, but that really does lay out a fast track for identifying a location, identifying the exhibits. Basically now, after 16 years, our organization, the Friends of the American Latino Museum, are passing the baton on officially to the Smithsonian. They now own this project. They're running the show in terms of, where this museum's going to go on the National Mall. That is the focus for us from the outside. We'll continue to do our work of making sure after 16 years, all the companies that we worked with are in line to fund this museum, that we continue to put pressure on Congress to appropriate the funds. 50% is the model, 50-50 private sector and 50% federal funding. We want to make sure Congress fully funds their half. And then ultimately that this museum sits shoulder to shoulder with the African American Museum and the American History Museum and all the iconic museums on the National Mall that some 27, 28 million tourists come to from all over the world and all over the nation. Of course, that's pre-pandemic, but hopefully we'll get back to those numbers as things open up and we get past this health crisis.
For sure. And I know there's, as part of the bill, isn't there also a Women's History Museum coming too?
Yes, absolutely. And full disclosure, over the years, we've worked in support of the Women's History Museum as well. We provided them with copies of the commission report that came out of the 2011 American Latino Museum Commission. We're very excited that that museum was also approved. That does pose a great challenge for Secretary Bunch. He not only has to open one museum on the National Mall, but now two. It's going to be quite the task, but yeah, if anyone can do it, I think Secretary Bunch can. And with the number and talented number of board of trustee members that have been announced, I think they'll be able to do it. It's a stellar board that he's announced for the American Latino Museum trustees.
Why don't you mention some of those board members? There's some big names.
Yes. More recently, Soledad O'Brien has joined. Jose Andres, the restaurateur, a great representation as well from the financial sector. Jose Feliciano. You've got representatives from Target. Target's been an amazing supporter of the African American Museum and the Smithsonian writ large, but also a great supporter of the American Latino Museum. And then group is also joined by Sofia Vergara and Eva Longoria, who served on the commission, and of course iconic musician and entrepreneur Emilio Estefan. So I mean, it's a stellar board, but they've got a huge task of raising $350 to $500 million for this museum.
You said it's $350 to $500 million is what they think the price tag will be?
Well, that's 50%, right? So based on the commission report of 2011, they estimated $600 million. But you know what inflation is like, and creating a museum in a different environment. So, we're thinking we're probably going to need from the private sector anywhere between $350 million and $500 million.
Okay, great. So obviously it's probably too early to speculate, but do you have any preferences on where you would like to see it situated on the National Mall? I know there's only so much real estate going on available down there now that, a bunch of these awesome museums are opening up, but do you have any idea of where they're even looking at?
We have always had an idea of where this should go. When you look at the African American Museum, right across from that museum, on the opposite side of the museum towards the Holocaust Museum, there's an open grassy space right there. It is perfect. It would complete the beautiful rectangle of museums on the National Mall between the Washington Monument and the U.S. Capitol. Now, Will they give it to us? Not without a lot of noise and demands. I don't think they'll give it to us. It's not an easy one. There has long been an effort to keep the mall green, but there is a real argument for it. Like I said, it's an open space. It would complete the rectangle of iconic museums. There are other spaces as well, but they do come with challenges. Across from the Botanical Garden is the Senate parking lot for a long time. Even the African American Museum wanted to go right there on top of that space where it's an open and parking area. But the Senate refused to provide that space. But now you look at the fact that you need a Women's History Museum and a Latino Museum to get them a location, then why not complete the rectangle, give the parking lot to one of the museums and the other to that open grassy space across from the African American Museum. I think that would be ideal for both spaces and both museums.
Nice. Now, what sort of exhibits and stuff do you imagine, you know, in your dream scenario, once this thing ever did open? I know it would be years from now, but before it's all approved, but in your dream world, what sort of exhibits or activities do you think would you expect there to be?
Well, you know, the biggest mission for us here, the biggest goal here for us has been to correct the myth that the Latino community is a young immigrant community that just arrived here within the last 20, 50, even 60 years. I mean, the truth is, the American Latino experience dates back 500 years. And so when you ask about what goes in this museum, there's so much that can be part of that. I'll use as an example in the Spanish residence in DC, the old Spanish residence up 16th Street. If folks know that area up there towards Adams Morgan, they have a small exhibit that shows the role of the Spanish working with Guatemalans and Salvadorans to help create supply routes for George Washington. Now, how many people are aware of this exhibit and how many people even know that the Spanish had any role at all in helping George Washington? There are a variety of reasons that the Spanish never really publicized it back then, but that's for the future museum to help elaborate on and educate people that our role is extensive in the founding of the nation, but that's somewhere we would start just to give people a better sense of how much we truly are part of the fabric of the nation, right? And then from there, you just look at contemporary military presence of Latinos. It's tragically in Afghanistan with the death of 13 US soldiers, servicemen and servicewomen, among them, majority of them of Hispanic descent. I mean, this is the story, this is the opportunity to tell a more complete story of how much the Latino community has been committed, sacrificed, and contributed to all sectors of our society. So everything from that patriotic role to what we enjoy in arts and sports and science.
Oh, you're right. It's an endless opportunity to highlight contributions, and in the case of the most recent, you know, in Afghanistan, the sacrifices, ultimate sacrifices that many Latinos have made for this country. Why do you think it took so long to get the idea of this museum, or actually any museum? I mean, the African American History Museum is relatively recent too. Why do you think it took so long for DC to, you know, to start opening? I guess we had the American Indian Museum.
Yes.
You know, why do you think it took so long that, I mean, we're finally having an awareness? Was it a post Obama administration sort of awakening where we're like, wow, there's a whole, you know, segments of our population that deserve museums.
Yeah. Well, I gotta throw an old phrase out there, which is change does not come easy. People in Washington, as you know, there's the native DC population, and then there's Congress that comes in from all over the country. And then they tend to dictate what happens with some of the iconic structures that we see around us here in Washington. And the reality is that the Smithsonian is a government body that is controlled by Congress. The National Mall is also controlled to a certain extent by Congress. And the idea of creating another museum received a lot of pushback, especially after the African American Museum. There were many people in Congress that felt, and I'm going to be honest, it was bipartisan. Many, many members from both sides of the aisle felt that they really didn't think there was room, nor that we needed another museum on the Mall. For the last 16 years, as I mentioned, what we've done is just educate members of Congress and built an amazing bipartisan network in the House and in the Senate to support the creation of an American Latino Museum that fills the gaps. You know, Senator Cornyn from Texas, originally from San Antonio, was a big champion of the legislation. He, of course, understanding how deep the Mexican and Latino history goes across, you know, not just Texas, but across the Southwest. And then couple that with Senator Menendez in Florida, I mean, in New Jersey, but he had a deep understanding of the history in Florida, both the Cuban American experience across Florida, as well as the Spanish. So, I mean, that really provided a great opportunity for us to bring people together, but it still took, you know, the original idea of creating this museum started in 1994. So we're talking 26 years later. Across that time, it was just a constant educational push that U.S. history as presented for the 27 million tourists is incomplete. And for that matter, it's incomplete in our history books, in our classrooms, and across, you know, many, many medium. And by that, I mean, both online as well as mainstream media and Hollywood, it's incomplete. It's an incomplete storytelling. And hopefully we're finally at a point where we're turning a corner to revisit history and make it as inclusive as possible, because those stories are there. They're simply just not told.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, before the museum actually opens, this month will be Hispanic Heritage Month. Do you know of any events that we can do? Our listeners should be on the lookout for. Is there anything, you know, your group is promoting, you know, and obviously until the museum actually opens, how should we celebrate and honor Hispanic Heritage Month?
Well, there's a lot out there. Unfortunately, many of the in-person events have pulled back, you know, for obvious reasons, back to virtual. But there are important events hosted every year by the Hispanic Heritage Foundation. They normally host it at the Kennedy Center, but it will be all virtual now, airing on PBS October 8th, a celebration of Latina and Latino leaders, both from entertainment and arts and science, but also business and sports. And so it's a great event. You'll have some, you know, live entertainment online, at least, as well as some great storytelling. In addition to that, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus hosts their conference in mid-September to kick off Hispanic Heritage Month, from the 14th through the 18th, I believe. I probably have my dates a little bit off there, but chci.org will have a lot of great information there and discussions and also entertainment. But there's so much information online too. There are concerts that are being hosted online. There are, I think a lot of the online platforms now, not going to pick and choose my favorites, but a lot of the online platforms, I would even encourage folks to look at Remezcla, which is, you know, I'm pronouncing it, rolling my R's, but it's Remezcla, has a great portal there of information on news and entertainment around Hispanic Heritage Month. I would invite folks to really take a look at American history here. Look at what you could find online around the Afro-Latino experience in American baseball. Look at, Google even has a whole section on U.S. Latino history. They have a special portal highlighting different, you know, aspects of the Latino community throughout hundreds of years, and regional as well, both Florida versus Texas versus the Northeastern experience, because that's the biggest challenge that we're going to have when we look at the future museum. How do we bring all these stories together? Because it is regional, and it starts at different points from all over this hemisphere, but the museum will be amazing, and I hope people also get a chance to enjoy the amazing food, the culinary experience that the Latino community brings to every part of the country.
Great. And do you have a ballpark? If you had to guess, like, what year do you think this museum will finally open? Like, are we talking like 5 years, or what are we talking?
I think, you know, I mean, that's the question we always get is like, when can we, you know, start making our reservations, right? And
we're away from that.
Yeah, we are. We've got to find the location, and we also have to raise the money. So yeah, I'm a bit conservative about this. So I'm looking at eight years, 10 years tops. There's a lot of work to be done. There's an opportunity for everyone to get involved. That's why we're still around. After we passed the bill, we thought, well, maybe we're done. And then we did the math and timetable and looked at the national model, like, we're not done. Let's stick around a little longer, make sure this actually goes totally across the finish line to the opening of the doors. And that's more information everyone can find on AmericanLatinoMuseum.org. That's our organization.
Gotcha. And then, you know, final seconds before we run, you know, it's I guess on a personal note, I was told that you had a little bit part on The Wire.
Oh my gosh.
I got to know about that. It's one of the greatest shows ever.
Oh my gosh. That is, yeah. So like most lawyers, we're all actors at heart. And so I got to my fork in the road, and had, been acting, doing theater, and then ended up getting picked up here and there for bit small parts in The Sopranos, The Wire, a few other shows that aren't around anymore, you know, Hack and The West Wing. But The Wire is the one that everyone talks about because it's the most interesting and fun scene, the last episode of that first season with Omar. So yeah, man, I don't know. I loved it. I had a great time. It's not what I do now, but you know, if they bring it back and want me to reprise that very, very small role I had, I'm totally happy to do it.
Wait, so remind us, what was the scene with Omar in the end of season one?
It was basically, so Omar just, it's the actual last scene of that closing season finale. And it's me and this other, you know, Latino hanging out in the streets, doing the stereotypical thing of dealing drugs. And Omar comes up to me and I'm looking at him like, what do you want? Basically, what do you want to buy? And he pulls a gun on me to take everything from me. So it is a comical scene because if you look at me today, as a lobbyist and an advocate and heading the American Latino Museum, to play that role with a guy who's really, you know, turned out to have an amazing career, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just look at that and like, number one, I can't believe that's you. Number two, how fun was that to be in that closing scene? You know, obviously I don't recommend that we continue to further the stereotypical roles of Latinos, but I will just, you know, admit that was truly an enjoyable moment and experience in my life to be part of that
right,
show.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you got to look it up. You got to look it up.
Oh, I mean, obviously I've binged the whole scene. I've loved the whole thing, but yeah. I had no idea, you know, obviously I'm watching that scene. I'm just looking at Omar. I had no idea that was you, sir.
Yeah, you can Google, just Google, because my colleagues at work do this all the time. They just Googled the man with the jumbo sixes. The jumbo sixes. That's what they Google, and it pops up. The scene pops up. So
man with the jumbo sixes. Wait,
yeah,
so what?
With the jumbo sixes.
What were you in Sopranos?
Italian family has a nephew who marries a Puerto Rican girl, and they have a big wedding. And I was one of the guests and one of the dancers there because there's always a party if there's a Latino family.
Gotcha.
And so I did small part there at this wedding. Yeah, man, it was just, you know, an opportunity to continue to explore. But again, once I hit that fork in the road and then of course the family started coming, I was like, all right, I'm going to have to just get serious and do something else. Not that acting isn't serious, but it was a longer road. So I respect my fellow actors out there.
Let's do some law. Let's try to get some museum.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting a friggin' museum on the mall. That's way easier than that.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. But
I'm just kidding,
a lot of respect to my SAG-AFTRA people out there.
For sure, for sure. Well, cool. That's great. Well, that's cool, man. The Wire, Sopranos, West Wing. I mean, come on. That's like the Mount Rushmore right there. That's amazing.
There you go.
It's cool. Well, awesome. Well, I appreciate you joining us. Again, everybody, you know, and enjoy Hispanic Heritage Month, and we'll keep an eye out for the museum now that the bipartisan bill is passed in December. So keep us posted as this thing develops.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. And I would just close by just letting folks know it's not going to happen if everyone doesn't get involved and carries their responsibility in making sure that we get this door, these doors open. So thank you for the opportunity to be with you. And I look forward to keeping you posted on how this moves forward.